Good morning, everyone. A new year and a new time on Saturday mornings for Sport on 4. My name is Cliff Morgan. Welcome. There's an hour and three quarters play left in the one-day cricket international in Perth, Australia, where England take on the West Indies. Latest news in a few moments. And I'll be talking cricket with E.W. Swanton, whose writing and broadcasting has enriched the game for more than half a century. Oh, and you can also meet an 11-year-old boy whose football dream has become a reality. Well, there's little doubt that England's cricketers saw the old year out, the new year in great style, retaining the Ashes and then, on New Year's Day, beating the Australians in the one-day international at Perth. Today, against the mighty West Indians, England scored 228 runs, and then West Indies in reply, the last I heard was 104 for four, but hot news from Christopher Martin Jenkins at the ground.
Yes, 104 for four is the score, and what perhaps matters more than anything is that the fourth wicket is that of Viv Richards, who a moment ago tried to whack John Embry's off-spin far into the distance of Perth, somewhere near the Swan River, and instead top-edged the ball and got a high sky at a deep square leg and crisp broad, as if he was in his sleep, so comfortably did he take the skyer, held it under his chin, and England must have felt in that moment that they've given themselves a great leap forward in their chances of winning this game.
Let me tell you incidentally that we've had some frost in this country and racing. Today's meeting's at Uttoxeter, that's been abandoned, and then there are inspections at Ayr and Sedgefield at 10:30. 10:30 inspections at Ayr and Sedgefield, but the meeting at Newbury will go ahead. And that's good news. And in football, of course, the league matches at Reading, Bristol Rovers and Walsall are all off, not because of frost, because of illness. All sports news this afternoon with Renton Laidlaw in Sport on 2. Well, do you know that long before the comfortable days of television, sport was the only way you could keep up with sport and what was happening was by reading the newspapers, listening to what we called in those days the wireless. Raymond Glendenning, Rex Alston, G.V. Wynne-Jones, and R.C. Robertson Glasgow, whose essay so brilliantly summed up the day's play after test matches. You could read OLO in the Times, although the Times didn't tell you what the names were in those days, and E.W. Swanton on rugby and cricket in the Telegraph. Well, Jim Swanton has reported 270 test matches, written books, edited scholarly works. 52 years ago, he did his first broadcast for the BBC. Now, he'd be celebrating his 80th birthday on the 11th of February, and so I wandered down to his home in Kent, just to linger and to chat.
My preparatory school was called Brightlands, and it was on Dulwich Common, on the corner there, and I was a weekly boarder there. And the first cricket match I ever saw, I got on the tram up to the Oval and saw Surrey against Hampshire in 1919. Then I went to Cranley in 1921, where we had a great rugger tradition. I wasn't much good at the game. In fact, I was no good at the game. And I enjoyed my time at Cranley enormously. Mm. And then after that, I went straight, really, into Fleet Street. I went into something called the Amalgamated Press. Then I went to the Evening Standard in 1927, and I was with them almost until the war. I had the theory that not to have one's eggs in one basket. And so I got onto the BBC as soon as I could. And in fact, I did the very first broadcast in 1934 for what was called the old British Empire programme, and it was the night of the Blackheath Football Club dinner, and so I went to the dinner, black tie and all, and then I came out, got a cab up Regent Street, did my piece, and came back for dinner. So I wasn't really very nervous. I had perhaps a glass or so by then, up till the war, I did that regularly, and then in 1938 I had the chance of some outside broadcasts, and then went out to South Africa in 38-9. And broadcast back here. My first test match, a hat-trick. Tom Goddard. On Boxing Day, 1938. And I could feel everyone in front of the fire dozing, you know, and perhaps waking them up a bit with the fact that Tom Goddard got 3-3 just before 6 o'clock at night at Johannesburg. Yeah. I was lucky.